the prophets had to speak both alarm, condemnation, repentance on one hand, and hope on the other. They found through bitter experience that their message of hope was a dangerous message, because we human beings will easily grab on to a message of hope and turn away from the crisis toward a sort of naive optimism. So first Isaiah, who is writing before the fall of Jerusalem, a good while before the fall of Jerusalem, he has to be careful with his hope. So he says in chapter 8, I bind up this testimony, I seal this revelation in the heart of my disciples. So he has to put the hope someplace so that when it's time for it, it'll be there. And he puts it in the heart of his disciples. It's the metaphor you see would be like the digger pines, and I think it's the bristlecone pines too, whatever those pines are that drop their cones, but the cones don't open until the forest fire comes. So first Isaiah is doing that. He's taking his message of hope. He's putting it into the hearts of his disciples, those who have understood his work most deeply, and into their heart he inscribes his hopeful message so that when their hearts break, it'll be there. Now, of course, their hearts broke when Jerusalem was destroyed and with it the temple. And so second Isaiah is writing from a refugee camp of Jerusalem deportees in Babylon. And he has had his heart broken, and his people have had their hearts broken, and they have suffered the catastrophe, and they are now on the bottom of history, and you have an opportunity at the bottom of history to opt out. And second Isaiah pops out. He's had his heart broken, and he opens his broken heart, and he finds in it a message of hope. So second Isaiah says, in one of his servant songs, we'll speak of the servant songs in a little bit, he says, the Lord has given me a disciple's tongue. Each morning he wakes me to hear, to listen like a disciple. The Lord Yahweh has opened my ear. So he says, I have a disciple's tongue and a disciple's ear. And it's in the disciple that the word of hope of first Isaiah has been implanted. And so second Isaiah is now prepared to not only express but live that hope in an apparently hopeless situation. The tremendous paradoxes with regard to 2 Isaiah. For instance, he, most strikingly, of the writing prophets, is anonymous. Not that there weren't other anonymous contributors, 3 Isaiah, for instance, but his stature and his anonymity together are striking. And also, he is the one who says, I am merely a disciple of 1 Isaiah. He says that in the passage I just quoted. So he is the one who most faithfully tries to receive the tradition, as St. Paul said, receive the tradition and pass it on. That is the key movement in the process, to receive it and pass it on, to receive it and pass it on. But notice with 2 Isaiah, as with Paul and the greats in this transmission process, what they receive and what they pass on are different. Not different because they have altered it in an idiosyncratic way, but because they have deepened its implications and broadened its application. So 2 Isaiah is a disciple, that is to say, is the most traditional, and he's the most anonymous, and in spite of those two things, he's the most original. So those who think originality consists in doing something other than what's already been done might be missing the point. It is the passing on the tradition in that creative sense that is the source of originality. And he is original like almost nobody else in the biblical world except for Jesus.